How to Stop Your Self-Sabotage, Chapter 1, The Most Common Affliction. What do you think is the most common issue that I've been asked in all my time of being a clinical and coaching psychologist? What is the one issue that people secretly ask about? That's right. How can I improve my self-confidence? How can I increase my self-esteem? How can I feel less shy? How can I feel less embarrassed? How can I be more outgoing? Alternatively, I've had clients say things like, I want to be more confident. I want to be less self-conscious. I want to be more assertive and not be afraid to say what I think. And finally, I want to stop sabotaging myself. Without any doubt at all, these have been the most commonly asked questions and the most common opening statements from clients throughout my whole career. These are the primary questions and issues. These are the questions and statements from all ages, from both sexes, from all cultures and communities. However, there is another side to this whole issue. There is a flip side. There are also those who present as confident and appear self-assured, but who might come across as maybe abrupt, curt, or perhaps seem arrogant or even aggressive, or who appear overconfident and maybe brash. They might appear confident, but they still sabotage themselves. They come into my consulting room and ask, "How can I change my communication style? How can I communicate more effectively?" Often they say things like, "My staff say I'm too aggressive. My spouse tells me that I'm too domineering. People tell me that I come across as arrogant. My people say that I'm sometimes gruff." And then, maybe not straight away, the confiding comment that underneath it all, they feel underconfident. They lack confidence. They are really insecure. Guess what? Those who present as underconfident and those who present as arrogant, abrupt, or overconfident typically have one thing in common. They are both insecure. They are both feeling inadequate and underconfident. They both sabotage themselves. Ego is at the core of who we are. When ego feels threatened or not good enough, ego goes into either flight or fight mode and becomes insecure and unsure or overcompensates by being overly confident, even brusque, abrupt, or arrogant. Your mission is simple. You are asked to live so as to demonstrate that you are not an ego. A Course in Miracles. None of us feel secure all of the time. Most of us feel insecure at times. Comfortable, at ease, relaxed, confident. Ego? Insecure. Underconfident, hesitant, non-assertive, fearful. Arrogant, aggressive, authoritative, bully. So what would it mean to be confident without feelings of inferiority or self-doubt and self-sabotage? It certainly needs to be said that over 2 decades of being a clinical psychologist and in the last 5 years or more of being a coach, I've never met anyone who was always confident 100% of the time. Nevertheless, having said that, I definitely know individuals who are confident in themselves, are at home in their skin, and who relate and connect meaningfully with those around them and who have an inner belief in their ability to cope. It's not who you are that holds you back. It is who you think you are not. Author unknown. What does it feel like to be confident? What is the benchmark? What is the measure? To be confident means the following. To feel at ease with oneself. To be self-assured. To be able to rise above what others think of them. To be able to relate and converse with a range of people irrespective of culture, status, and role. To be free to give their opinion and perspective without fear of how such might be judged or evaluated. To be able to express their emotions and thoughts openly. To be generally relaxed and at home with themselves. To know that they are their own person without having to compare themselves with others. To allow others to be themselves without demanding that they meet particular expectations or be controlling of others. To be able to stand firm in the conviction of their own values and beliefs. To take responsibility for their own actions and behavior without recourse to blame, fault-finding of others, or criticizing others. To be able to move into unfamiliar situations knowing that somehow or other they can handle themselves appropriately. To be able to see change as a challenge. To be able to see past mistakes and learn from them without mourning the past or becoming stuck with unfinished business or regrets. To be able to say sorry without always apologizing or denigrating themselves. To be able to take corrective action and coach themselves if a situation does not meet their expectations or specific needs without unnecessarily beating up on themselves. To be able to be internally supportive with positive self-talk. To be content in their own company as well as content mixing and socializing with others. To be able to give and receive love. To feel happy in themselves. A long list? Now, before you say that you'll never get to be all these things, this list is simply a guide as to what we're talking about in terms of self-confidence. Being confident is not all of these things. As I said, this is not indicative of the confident person all of the time, but this certainly typifies the person who could be said to be confident. How would you like to be this kind of person? Is this the kind of person to which you would aspire? Would you be proud of yourself to have achieved this level of personal competence, self-worth, and understanding? So I considered it was high time to address the issue of confidence and give it proper focus in relation to a manual and associated exercises that went beyond the four walls of my consulting room and beyond my telephone and email coaching. What is it, therefore, that I tell my clients in the confidentiality of my office or over the phone? What is it that means that they begin to achieve their goals, become the person they always dreamed of becoming, and feel confident in their ability to cope? This manual tells of those strategies that are given in private. James was a friendly young man who said that he was 27 years of age and that he realized that he had a life ahead of him, but he wasn't feeling successful and felt that he was not going to make it given the struggles that he seemed to be having. He lived alone but had previously coped by having a best mate with whom he did everything, and it seemed that the both of them had become overly dependent on each other and almost enmeshed. However, life had all come to a head recently when James had become increasingly anxious at work as well as in social settings, and it had all gotten on top of him. He had confided to his auntie that he wasn't happy and had broken down and cried. He knew that he needed help. As we talked, James reported some telltale signs. He commented that he liked to get on with everyone, as we all do, didn't like conflict of any kind, and generally didn't stand up for himself. He also indicated that he liked to do a good job, but more than that, was very conscientious, didn't want to make any mistakes, and worked very hard to ensure that he got everything right. When I suggested that it seemed like he was caught with the internal drivers or scripts of pleasing others and being perfect, he didn't object at all. He appeared relieved that at least he had a name for his struggles and why life seemed so difficult. He had an explanation for his self-sabotage.